Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, unless otherwise noted. The Development Committee will meet the first Wednesday of each month at 4:30 p.m. This is KBOO Portland. Coming up next is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. KBOO Community Radio is supported by our members and by AMR, who would like you to know the warning signs of a heart attack. Common symptoms are pain in the chest, arm or jaw, lightheadedness, and shortness of breath. Calling 911 as soon as you see these signs can save a life.
All right.
Yeah.
Big day today.
Big day.
Bunch of stuff.
A lot of betrayal happening.
Yeah, indeed.
Oh, we'll talk about it all. This is KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial here in Portland, Oregon. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. That's Abe Proctor. I'm Joe Uris.
It's been a lovely fall spring in the Northwest this year.
It has been very nice. Flowers are blooming.
Yeah.
Hope is abreast.
Indeed. Fall spring is nice every year, but it's been particularly nice this year.
Yeah. 231-8187. Want to hear from you because you're going to want to hear us.
Yeah.
I think.
You know how the order of the seasons goes, right?
Yeah.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, there's rain, and then a little bit of snow, which didn't happen this year.
And then
more rain.
That's precipitation. I'm talking about the seasons.
Oh, the seasons.
It goes like this. It goes winter, fall, spring, second winter, second fall, spring.
better than
fall,
mine.
Fall, summer.
Absolutely.
Summer. And that's how it goes. And then fall and winter.
You're so young, you don't remember the summer of the green tomato.
Uncle Joe, tell us about the summer of the green tomato.
It was the summer of the green tomato in which the skies never stopped drizzling.
That's right.
And the tomatoes were green.
And I hitched up my pantaloons and set my cap at a jaunty angle, and I went down to look at the green tomato. No.
Pantaloons?
Pantaloons? I'm alluding to the generational gap between the two of us.
Is that what you're doing?
That's what I'm doing. In a not very respectful way, I might add.
No. Could it be?
All right. This is KBOO. That's what Joe said. This is also the Abe and Joe Talk Radio program. He also said that.
Still.
It's Super Tuesday today, in which a whole bunch of people vote. About a third of the delegates in the Democratic nominating process are up for grabs
and
today.
And the betrayals begin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're watching we're watching the establishment step in to take the nomination away from Bernie Sanders.
And probably give it to the stupid pig.
Yeah. It's happening in real time in front of our noses.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, yeah. I know you're telling me I should have no reason to feel either disappointed or cynical about this because it's what always happens, right? But nevertheless.
Yes. Well, that's because I'm old and bitter.
I see the Democratic establishment working harder to stop Bernie than they are to stop Trump.
I think that's infuriating. Sort of true. It's sort of true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Elizabeth, here's the proof of it is here's a perfectly good Elizabeth Warren who has all the qualities that are said to be lacking in Bernie, you know, like having real plans, having multiple approaches, being very charming, very bright, all that. They're not even giving her a fair shake.
No, I agree. And I suspect that maybe if she were a man, she may have sewn up the nomination already.
Well, it could very well be. I mean, sexism is alive and well.
It is. Yeah. Even within the so-called progressive camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think we're going to see at the end of today, Joe?
What, you want me to predict the election?
I do, yeah.
Oh, I think we're going to see... I think Bernie's going to win, and it's going to create an enormous crisis for the Democrats in which they'll have to actually betray their causes.
And their voters.
And their voters.
Oh, yeah. That could end really badly.
Well, I'm not going to say what I think is really going to happen.
You think it's going to be a brokered convention?
I think it's going to be a brokered convention.
And that's going to be a disaster.
And I think it's going to be a disaster, and I think the stupid Trump, the arrogant Trump, the vicious fascist Trump is probably going to be president for another 4 years.
All right, this has been the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show.
Yeah,
thank you for listening.
Bye.
Yeah. I'm really interested to hear what our listeners have to say.
Yeah, let's
and, maybe
they could persuade us we're wrong.
Maybe we'll jump to the phones a little earlier than we typically do.
Yeah, no, we don't need that. We don't have anything to say.
Yeah. All right, Camilo, you're first. Or Camilo? Did I say that
Camilo.
Correctly?
Camilo.
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 Good morning.
I don't usually agree with anything Joe says, but today I do. And I think that what we're going to see is It's not going to look good for Biden. It's not even possible for him to look good, even if he wins, because he is such an incompetent clown. And I think that the Democrats, the deep state Democrats in the DNC, even if he has a good showing, are in the end not going to support him. They're going to support Bloomberg.
Now, when you say deep state Democrats in the DNC, I think you're referring to what we usually call establishment Democrats, corporate-friendly Democrats with big connections to the donor class. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, yes, there are those, but I think that there are deep state Democrats.
I don't like that term, deep state. That's a Trumpite term.
I won't use it. We'll say.
Well, I mean, you could say what you like. That's just my opinion on the term.
Okay. But I think that you're going to see the DNC bankers and Wall Street come together to create a path for Bloomberg, and
that's interesting.
That is going to result in a extreme resentment against all the people who supported Bernie, all the progressives who were cheated out of this again. And then when Bloomberg faces Trump, Trump is going to wipe up the floor with Bloomberg.
Why? Because Bloomberg's short? Why do you think? He's got all this money. What?
Because they're both incompetent, but
No, Bloomberg. Hey, one thing about Bloomberg is he's not incompetent, really.
Well, he's not incompetent at being a neoliberal and taking money
away.
He's
also a good manager. He's a very good manager. That's important here.
But I think that he won't get the opportunity to manage the government because he's not going to be able to beat Trump.
Oh, that could be. That could be.
Who has the capacity to humiliate him, as he has so generously shown in previous elections. And I think that the consequence of this is going to be a tremendous disillusionment. And I think the fragmentation of the Democratic Party for the next three election cycles, which I do not regret. If Trump destroys this Democratic Party, I think that will be a good thing, and hopefully it will be replaced by something really honest and progressive.
Well, hey, thank you very much for the call. That was a pretty astute call. I agree with most everything he said, except the establishment's anointed choice of candidate. I think that person is going to be Biden and not Bloomberg.
I'm pretty sure you're
but
right.
While we're on the subject of Bloomberg, can we do away at long last with this notion that somehow being a skilled business person or a skilled manager in the private sector qualifies you to be a good president? Let's look back at the history of presidents who were business people. Warren Harding, Herbert Hoover, George W. Bush.
Bush wasn't a businessman.
Yeah, he was. He was a failed businessman.
Well.
And Donald Trump. That's not exactly a good track record for former CEOs who go on to seek the presidency.
I go even further than you. Look, it's always been an establishment with Tweedledum and Tweedledee. And we've always put our hope on Tweedle not there. Tweedle invisible. We had a rising left in America briefly at the turn of the 20th century. We have seen the left systematically crushed over and over again. It still persists because it makes sense and because there's a lot of statistical support for it and because people aren't stupid. Nevertheless, there is every effort not to have even a liberal consensus in the national politics.
Yeah. You're right. And I think the other part of the what the caller said that's also true is that if the Democratic establishment has its way and anoints somebody who's not a true progressive candidate, it will fracture the party for the next several electoral cycles, which will be an absolute huge missed opportunity. Because look at the way things are coalescing right now. We have a groundswell of support for a truly progressive candidate for the first time that I can really remember. We had it a bit in the last electoral cycle.
Yeah.
Where Bernie kind of danced right up to the line, but didn't really have the numbers to get the nomination. And I know that's a debatable point, and I suspect our callers will debate it with me. But here's the thing. If the party can see fit to rally behind a progressive candidate this time, instead of fracturing the party for the next several electoral cycles, I think you will unify the party for the next several electoral cycles to the benefit of us all. What is the largest voting bloc in the country right now, Joe?
Young people.
Millennials, yes. They're now outnumber even baby boomers as a proportion of the electorate.
Yeah.
If there's a candidate who can tap into that enthusiasm and get young people out to vote, we can set this country on a progressive lefty course for the next couple generations. And you know what? This is exactly the right time to set the country on that course.
Yeah, and we got in Joe Biden, we got a guy who can't remember which day of the week it is.
Yeah, or which office
real,
he's running for.
Real.
Yeah, this is serious.
Yeah, or what office he's running for. It's creepy, it's weird, it's inexcusable, and yet it's real.
It is. Let's go to Sean. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. I've already mailed in my ballot for Washington State for Bernie Sanders, of course, and I'll support him, of course, you know, through the primaries. But it's interesting, like, if your goal is the abolition of markets, you know, from, like, a revolutionary Marxist perspective, I find it interesting that the best thing that could probably happen would be that Bernie Sanders not get the nomination, that he not get elected president.
My goal is not the abolition of markets.
Wait, you're singing a Beatles song. You say you want a revolution? Go ahead.
Well, I anyone with two brain cells to rub together, you know, if they care about climate change and, you know, imperialism and so on and so forth,
sure.
You know, you have to be a revolutionary today. And I think Sanders is a kind of FDR figure in that, unfortunately, he might actually preserve capitalism. You know, so from that perspective, I mean, on the one hand, I would love to see a democratic and nonviolent transition to a socialist economy and eventually the ultimate abolition of markets. But it's interesting, Bernie might be the capitalist candidate in this race because he will reform capitalism a la FDR and actually preserve it and allow it to linger on. Like, one of my major criticisms of the Green New Deal is that there's nothing in there about radically reducing levels of consumption. Like, you know, if I had my way, I would use an executive order to outlaw the use of the automobile as a mode of private transportation. I would use an executive order to limit the consumption of animal products to like 6 meals per week. I mean, that's where I'm coming from.
Why 6?
Well, I don't think it's realistic to, you know, to say you can't consume any animal products, but if we dramatically reduce the consumption of animal products, I think that would have a huge impact on climate change.
Well, I think you're right, but
you know. So, you know, these are kind of authoritarian Marxist concepts that I think are just essential, and obviously the public is not there yet. But, you know, Bernie Sanders might actually, through the Green New Deal, he might actually preserve this planet-killing ecocidal system, which is tragic, of course. And yet, at the same time, he's also our only hope for, like, a nonviolent democratic transition to a system that might actually, you know, save us and liberate us and save the planet.
Okay. I want to help you game through what you're saying right now, because this is fascinating to me. I hear you, a self-professed Marxist whose ultimate goal is the abolition of markets as we understand them. You're saying don't vote for the Democratic Socialist candidate.
Well,
so I'm saying,
I have vote for me. It's a huge compromise. Uh-huh. I have voted for Bernie Sanders, and I will support him, you know, in the hope that we will have a democratic, nonviolent transition, knowing full well that he might very well preserve capitalism, which, you know, would of course be a tragedy.
Well, okay then.
Oh, the irony. Irony.
Let me tell a quick story about my brief involvement with DSA. So it's 1992, it's a Democratic primary. I'm originally from Aurora, Illinois, and I joined the DSA. And the first thing we do is we go to a yuppie country club called the White Eagle Country Club. And those of us from Aurora refer to Naperville as Yuppieville. And so we go to this, it's a Democratic Party meeting at this White Eagle Country Club. And I thought that was a little strange, but the fact that we were supporting Tom Harkin made sense to me. But then when DSA threw its support behind Bill Clinton, a totally corrupted right-wing Democrat from a poultry-controlled state, I had to walk away from the DSA because I just couldn't live with that level of compromise. So you know, I just hope folks aren't holding out too much hope for DSA and those kind of reformist policies.
Wow, that was a really interesting,
dark,
albeit contradictory,
very dark,
phone call.
Very dark.
Well, thank you for that, caller. I'm wondering, though, are the caller posited something I'm still trying to get my brain around here a little bit. He wants the eventual abolition of markets. He is compromising by voting for...
Well, let me just insert one thing. I don't see the abolition of markets as a solution to anything. Go ahead.
I don't see it either. But nevertheless, that's what the caller is after. Supporting Bernie Sanders because he's the best hope for a peaceful transition to preserving the market system, as he described it, which he feels would ultimately be tragic and planet-destroying. So I'm wondering, then, why pursue that choice of action if you're feeling, I don't know. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on. There must be a lot of people who want to call and talk about other things. I want to make a quick plea or an argument. A friend of mine who died recently, Carola Penn, artist, very good artist, is having a retrospective post her death at several places. Right now, the show that I just saw is just really wonderful at the National Gallery. That's at 15 Southeast 22nd. And it really is, her work is so clever, so funny, so beautiful, oil paintings, you know, really good work. And I didn't want to let that slide by without giving people encouragement. Also, you can catch her work at of all places, the airport, at the baggage claim area, and several other locations. But her work is wonderful and worth your attention.
All right, cool.
That's it.
All right. So as we've been talking about, this is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. Super Tuesday is today. We are watching, I believe, a concerted attempt by the Democratic establishment. And by that, I mean that section of the Democratic leadership, which has maintained its loyalty to the so-called third way model pioneered by Bill Clinton and Al Gore and others.
Yeah.
That offer a supposed third way, third option between the two extremes of, liberalist economic populists like Bernie Sanders and traditional tax-cutting conservatives like whoever it is on the Republican side.
Right.
This third way, which has managed to garner electoral success, although I don't know that success can be directly attributed to the third way philosophy, but in terms of governing, has been entirely unsatisfactory from a progressive point of view.
Well, I don't know about entirely, but pretty much unsatisfactory.
Yeah, pretty much unsatisfactory.
I mean, we did get some reform in healthcare and so on. So,
yeah, indeed. So that's what we're looking at now. We saw Joe Biden, the anointed establishment candidate, win really big in the last primary, much larger than people thought he would, while capturing a commanding share of the African-American electorate in that state, which had this had been the first time, South Carolina, that African-Americans had voted in any significant numbers in this election.
Right.
So this is what we're looking at. Biden is now the heir apparent to that centrist mantle, and we're seeing people dropping out of the race and lining up to endorse him and encourage their supporters to follow Biden as well. And this has been predictable in some cases, it's surprising in others, but it amounts to an attempt to stop Bernie Sanders from getting the Democratic
nomination.
It's
also an attempt to ignore Elizabeth Warren, who has the qualities that Bernie doesn't have, in addition to having a progressive agenda.
Yeah, it's really kind of an interesting situation.
She's great, but never mind.
Yeah, never mind. The one endorsement that I was really surprised by was Beto O'Rourke. I didn't think that he would throw his support behind Joe Biden.
Too tall. He can't get his thoughts from his, you know, to his, you know.
Okay, I don't know what that means. Let's go to the phones.
Oh.
Arthur, give us a call back if you can. How do you think this is going to go today, Joe?
Well, being a prognosticator of high skill, I would say that probably Bernie's going to win. And it's going to be humiliating for the establishment of the Democratic Party. Nevertheless, it'll be a brokered convention. Nevertheless, they will not let Bernie be the candidate of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, and that will be a disaster, because I think Bernie will feel at that point that he has no option but to run an independent campaign at that point.
Well, knowing
him, that
would
be the end.
Knowing him, yeah. Which I do, that's very likely. He has certain interpersonal problems anyway in his exchanges with people. He's really, in a conversation, often a one-trick pony. And this is not a good thing. But then again, where is the good candidate? Again, Elizabeth Warren, that's the answer. Is it going to happen? No.
No, it's not.
I mean, she's got no chance.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
They might make her vice president as a reward for being a woman.
Frankly, I think she's would be a better ally to whoever's in the White House as a U.S. senator. But that's another discussion.
It's hard to say.
TQ Stone writes into the Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AbeandJoe, excuse me. TQ writes, white progressives love Sanders, yet blacks love Biden because many black people see that Biden can win. Voting for Sanders is the same this year as a Jill Stein vote in 2016. I don't think Bernie can win Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. I'm sorry. The 78-year-old man that just had a heart attack is the voice of progressive America? Question mark. Sad statement on the Democratic Party, and an even sadder statement on America.
I have nothing to say about that.
We had our engineer is whispering in our ears, saying a caller just wanted us to explain the concept of a brokered convention. Do you want to take a stab at that?
No, I want you to take a stab at that.
Okay, here's how it works. If when the candidates and their delegates converge for the national convention, the national nominating convention, which is in Milwaukee this year, everybody goes in and they vote on the first ballot. If at that point nobody has a clear majority of delegates, all the delegates are released, meaning they're no longer bound to support the candidate they supported in the primary process. And they're then free to support whichever candidate they please. The thing is, with the Democratic nominating process, at that point, something called superdelegates, whose vote is weighted to count for more, and most of whom are allied with the moneyed establishment wing of the party, get to cast their votes. And that will most likely shift the nomination to a member of this. All of this is what we call a brokered convention, when there's nothing with a majority. That will likely shift the nomination to the establishment favored candidate.
Yeah, and to understand the these kind of delegates, these super delegates, many of them are actually functionally in real world life conservatives. In fact, they're part of the capitalist ruling establishment.
Yeah, they are. Very
much so it's what you call in the layman's terms a total you know what over.
Yeah. Indeed. So that's what a brokered convention is. A brokered convention is not going to favor a candidate like Bernie Sanders. It is much more likely to favor somebody like Joe Biden. And if that were the case,
only if he can remember the day of the week, though.
Right. And if that were the case, if Bernie goes into the convention, let's say he's got close to a clear majority, but not quite there. In other words, he's got a strong plurality.
Mm-hmm.
And then he doesn't get the nomination on the first ballot. And then he is denied the nomination on the second ballot, despite having the most support heading into the convention. I think he would feel at that point, I don't know, duty bound, honor bound, something, to mount an independent campaign. So then
it's
he would have
the Nader phenomenon.
No, not exactly. It plays out in an entirely different way.
Okay.
Nader ran as a Green.
That's true.
In which case you would have essentially a three-person race, and then the victor there is Donald Trump.
I think there's no way, and this really breaks my heart, there's no way to knock Trump out without a united Democratic Party, and there's no way to have a united Democratic Party without the progressive wing being dominant. So it's a real problem for the establishment, because the establishment doesn't like Trump particularly.
Right. And you also can't have a united Democratic Party without support of voters of color.
Really?
Right. And African-American voters in particular, which are the most reliable voting bloc in the Democratic Party, are pretty strongly behind Joe Biden at this point.
Why?
Not monolithically, I should add.
Yeah.
That's a very good question. And if you're an African-American listener, I would like you to call up and describe why.
Explain to us why. Biden.
Well, no, not necessarily. Just an African American listener who might offer some insight on this this question. Why is it that he enjoys such strong support from African American voters? I'm genuinely would like to know the answer to that.
Well, it is an interesting question.
Yeah, younger black voters tend to skew towards Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's altogether a very complicated dynamic going on right now.
A dynamic which, in the end, probably favors the clown.
Yeah, I would have to...
Bring in the clown.
I would have to agree with that. Let's go back to the phones. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. Well, you did kind of steal my thunder a little bit.
Sorry.
Explaining the first ballot thing, but I don't... Do you really believe Bernie Sanders would run as an independent and knowing that he's handing it to Donald Trump? I don't believe it.
Well, who knows?
I can't rule it out.
I don't actually agree with that.
That's all we're doing here is prognosticating anyway.
That's exactly what we're doing.
So... You know, so I'm saying there's no friggin' way that Bernie Sanders would hand it to Donald Trump.
I think you're right. I disagree with my partner on this.
His followers may step out and hand it to Donald Trump, but he won't run as a third party or as an independent.
Well, I think a lot of people are so committed at this point to Sanders because they really believe in social change in a legitimate context, that they're going to feel very burned, very angry.
Yep.
And they'll probably sit on their hands rather than voting.
Yeah. And I'll say just on the last thing before I go, I think that if African Americans are pitted with a choice between Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, they will go to the polls in droves.
I hope that would be true, but we'll never get to know that probably.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of thinking you're right.
Oh, this is such a depressing thing. Why? Why? Why?
Hey, listen, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. So, while we're on the subject of a brokered convention, it's essentially the party has decided that nobody's going to be the nominee without a majority of delegates committing to them. The superdelegates come into play only after that first ballot fails to produce, or only if that first ballot fails to produce a clear majority. But I think it's if you're a betting person, and we did reach that point where the superdelegates came into play, I think if you're a betting person, you would not bet on Bernie Sanders at that point.
Well, there are problems with Bernie. These are real human beings. There are problems mm-hmm. with every one of them. The most obviously qualified, smart, amusing, attractive in a non-sexual sense candidate is Elizabeth Warren. She's cool.
Yeah, I'm an admirer.
And she's unlike Bernie. I wouldn't mind having her over to dinner.
Yes, she did fairly recently, though, reverse herself and start taking super PAC money.
Well, she realized, yeah.
I think she saw that as a necessary step to remain in the race. So I don't know about the wisdom of that choice, but that's the choice she made.
Maybe she's running for vice president.
That's possible, too.
Yeah.
Let's go to the phones. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Warren supporters.
Okay.
I don't think she's going to win, though. I got a question about how you guys feel about the popular vote versus delegates. And that's all I got. I'd like to discuss that a little bit.
Sure. How do I feel about the popular vote versus delegate selection? Well, they are related, obviously. And I think if the only way to avoid the sort of nightmare situation, the broker convention we're talking about, as if one candidate enters the convention already having secured a clear majority of delegates.
There's another way. We could, and this is not going to happen, we could totally trash the system as it currently exists and have direct elections where the person with the most votes gets to be president.
Right, but that's not happening this time.
And that's not going to ever happen.
No, I know. So let's not muddy the waters by that. Okay, that's a meta conversation. Yeah, it has no bearing, I think, on this year's Democratic selection process because the rules for that process have already been established.
No, I agree.
Okay.
That's correct. I just wanted your thoughts on the subject, and I appreciate the answers.
Certainly. So here's my thoughts on this current situation played out in the most optimal way in my eyes. It would be that Bernie Sanders goes to Milwaukee with a majority and gets the nomination, and there is no brokered convention.
This is a very simple, easy thing to have happen.
It is, but it requires people to turn out and vote. And it requires people, I think, not to buy the establishment narrative that has suddenly coalesced in the last week, literally in the last week, around Vice President Biden.
Yeah, well, he passed the IQ test called, he didn't know which day of the week it was. I don't know.
Hmm. Let's go to the phones. Arthur, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Abe. Good morning, Joe. It's good to hear your voices.
Likewise. What's on your mind?
Emotion. I'm going to make a small comment. I moved to Portland, Oregon from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Whoa, that's a hell of a move.
Yeah, it is
Tulsa,
a hell of
which
a move.
Is famous for murdering African Americans. Go ahead.
Well, that's I don't know if you know the... Well, if you're going to bring that up, ancient history up, there's a band called the Gap Band.
Oh, yeah. I like the Gap Band.
The Gap Band, they had a big hit called You Drop the Bomb on Me.
You Drop the Bomb on Me. Yeah.
Right. Baby. Well, that references an actual bomb being dropped by white racists on a black community. Mm-hmm. It's an actual physical bomb. World War One era, 1920s. But anyway... I will tell you something about Oklahoma, which is unusual concerning Bernie Sanders. Oklahomans they kind of have a reputation, undeserved, I think, but redneckish you know, reputation.
Yeah.
And I will say, last time Bernie Sanders ran for president 4 years ago in Oklahoma, he was like a superstar. Like, he was filling up, his supporters in Oklahoma were coming to stadiums, convention centers, 15,000 people at a time. I don't even vote. The only reason I'm voting now is to vote for Bernie Sanders. But I've never seen that kind of excitement in a so-called southern state.
You know, I understand what you're saying, and I agree primarily with what you're saying, but there's one thing that's really important, and it's the hold your nose factor. That is, we can't stand another 4 years of the fascist criminal. So it really is necessary for all of us, unfortunately, to whoever the hell the weak-assed whatever the Democrats put up, we are going to have to support that person. I really believe that.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. That's a practical... You're talking about being practical.
Well, I'm talking about being aware that fascism is real and could happen. It's already happening.
That's true. And I agree, practicality has to be used to deal with reality.
Yes.
Okay, there's no getting around it. On the other hand, once you get people emotionally involved, you get them to at least vote. You know, even if it's not... You say it's not practical, but if people aren't emotionally pushed somehow, that they're not going to actually get out and vote. But anyway, listen, I'm gonna take the rest of your views off the air.
Sure, that's I appreciate cool.
Hey, thanks
call.
For the call.
Bye, bye, Joe. Bye.
Let's go to Jeremy. Good morning.
Hi. Let me turn off speaker. Sorry. In all of your pimping for Ms. Warren. I'm
pimping?
None of you even.
No, I won't accept the word pimping. That's irrelevant. It's not even
okay,
a little
and
bit true.
And all of your enthusiastic endorsements.
Okay, that I'll go for.
I'm amazed that you didn't mention that she not only used to be a Republican, but it was fairly recently. I mean, at least for, you know, I'm in my late 60s also. It was only, you know, 20-some years ago. She voted for whoever the candidate was in 96.
Well, look.
She voted for the Republican. That's
anyone can come to Jesus, okay? The fact of the matter is people learn, people grow, and people can change their politics. And that's what's happened.
I think she's dishonest.
Oh, why?
I think any...
Have you seen something she's done that is inconsistent with a progressive agenda? In modern times.
Yes. Voting for a Republican in 1996, and every
that's
election.
That's a long time ago, man.
It's not a long time ago, unless you were in a coma up till then.
Okay. All right. I'm going to abandon this argument because it doesn't.
And also, since it sounds like you've actually had some personal contact with Sanders, I'd like you to elaborate on that. I'm not in love with the guy. In the off chance that he gets the nomination, I think I'm sure they're quite ready to paint him as the person that he used to be also, which was, you know, sort of standing in as an elector for this.
Yeah. We lost him.
We lost him.
Hey, here's an important fact about Bernie. He used to be a routine left winger. You know, that means that he supported Castro, he supported the Soviet Union at one point in his life, and so on. And all of this allows him to be tarred with the label of a communist. That's the reality that would happen if he were the candidate and Trump were running against him, which Trump would love to do. And the fact of the matter is that his politics was a traditional American left-wing position for a long, long time. It doesn't mean that he hasn't grown out of it. It doesn't mean that he hasn't learned a lot. It doesn't mean that he isn't the right person for the right time. But this is a weakness, and it's real. And this is why a lot of people are concerned. In other words, there is valid reason to be concerned about his traditional old-fashioned leftism from the point of view of the establishment Democrats. That doesn't justify what they're about to do, however. And anybody can learn. Anybody can grow. Anybody can become more clear in their politics. And at this point, I have no reason to believe that he is not clear in his politics.
Yeah.
You know.
I would agree. So we've had a request from a listener to comment on the closure of polling precincts in South Carolina. A number of polling precincts were shuttered in advance of this primary election in South Carolina.
Why?
The process they call consolidation.
I see.
The official claim is that it becomes easier and more efficient to conduct the vote if there aren't so many polling places.
Efficiency is not
right.
Is the enemy right. of democracy.
Well, indeed. So you're seeing that this this is a false argument on its face. But the question goes a little deeper than that. This is part of the systematic effort to disenfranchise people from voting that's taking place all over the country,
yeah.
Not surprisingly, in a lot of places in the old Confederacy. And here's what I mean. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 identified specifically precincts within the Old South and all over the country, actually, but mostly within the Old South, with a demonstrated history of discrimination, voter intimidation, voter suppression. It identified all of these precincts and monitored them to make sure that they weren't up to any shenanigans every time an election came along. They also had something called a pre-approval clause in the Voting Rights Act that said that any changes to voting procedures in any of these predetermined precincts has to be approved by the Department of Justice before those changes can go into effect. So if you're a precinct in Alabama, and you have a long history of keeping black folks away from the polls, if you want to change the way you do anything, you have to go to the DOJ first. This was the case up until 2013 when the Supreme Court struck down that clause of the Voting Rights Act and said basically, oh, okay, racism has been cured. We no longer need to keep an eye on these traditionally racist precincts. And that really opened the floodgates for a whole new breed of voter suppression tactics, which are now in full effect. And it must be stated, were in full effect for the last presidential election as well.
Yeah.
So hanky-panky going on in South Carolina and elsewhere.
Not that, I want to be clear about that. Not that this is the case with how large a process there was, how possibly legitimate the process was this time.
Yep. Let's go back to the phones. Corey, you're next. Good morning. Are you there? All right. Well, we'll come back to Corey if we can. Let's go to Mike. Good morning. Mike, are you there?
Is anyone there? Is this Cable? What?
Let's try Robert.
Hey, Robert, are you there?
I feel like we're a spaceship who's lost
doing?
Communication. All right. Good morning. What's on your mind?
That I think the most important thing that a president does is the appointment of the cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are the guys that run the government, the executive branch of the government.
Right.
And could you guys expound a little bit on what Bernie might choose as a cabinet group of people?
Oh, I have no
idea.
Oh, wow.
Thank you for the call. That's a really interesting question.
Yeah, it's a very good question.
That's a fun
but I don't have the answer.
Tell you what, let's let that program run in the background. And as we think of names over the rest of the show, we can toss them out. How's
really?
That? Okay. Let's go to Corey. Good morning.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes. Yes. Sorry about that.
All right, cool. Hey, that's all good. Good morning. You guys had a question. I know I'm you were wanting African-American to call the show, so I can attest to that. So I will be we'll talk about that. I think for me, with the Bernie, Biden, Elizabeth Warren, I know I'm going to go back to Sanders and kind of just bring in some of the stuff that Julian Castro said a couple months ago. You know, Sanders wants to write a big check for Medicare for all. He wants to write a big check, tuition-free, debt-free college. He'll write a big check. But for many of the people I talked to, especially the black folks, when it came to reparations, he sort of took a pass. And for me, I'm not advocating or against reparations, but I did find that peculiar. And I think a lot of black people found that peculiar, that you write a big check for everything but that one specific thing.
Well, that is interesting. That is interesting.
Yeah, and I think we find that. And it wasn't just him. I believe AOC, one of his supporters, made that comment as well. And I do find that sort of odd when I do speak to Sanders supporters. You know, here in Texas, here in Houston, he has a lot of, there's a lot of, you know, fuel to burn. But it's, to me, and this is my personal feeling, and I'll be brief, it's almost like you have feminism and then you have white feminism. And I think for many people of color, that's, you know, especially when you make those comments about reparation, okay, you have liberalism and then you have white liberalism. So I think that what happened in South Carolina, and this is me being objective, and the person that made the Facebook post, I think we should listen to people of color, especially when it comes to these votes. I think we should listen to everybody, but honestly, I think that one thing when it came to reparations, there were some conversations about that, especially on News One and some platforms that maybe a lot of black platforms that it's sort of, that was funny. You pay for everything else, but you won't write a big check for that.
I see.
If he could explain that in an educated way, he'd probably have my support, but you can't poo-poo that point and expect me not to remember.
Understood.
And then Biden, you know, Biden hasn't even really spoken on it. So
that was my question. Has Biden come out in favor of reparations?
Exactly. They haven't even asked him the question, but when they did ask Bernie. So I'm just saying it's very peculiar. And if you can explain that point, you're going to write a check for everything else.
I have to say.
And that's my only point about that.
Sure. I have to say, if you ask Biden what he thought about reparations, he'd say, is this Tuesday or Wednesday?
Or he'd tell you to go sit on the radio and listen to black people. Yeah, he's made a lot of dumb comments. I'm not disagreeing. And I find it comical because he does have that Uncle Joe persona, but is that the guy that we want in the White House? I'm not against Bernie Sanders, but he has some... You got some explaining to do. That's all I got to say about that.
No, I agree with you. And in fact, my partner has something to say, but I'm going to say something after that. So there.
No, I was just going to thank you for the call and for the perspective.
Is that it?
That's all, yeah.
Oh, okay. I got a remark on something about Bernie, which is a weakness. Last time, way back, you know, almost 4 years ago, he was asked in Seattle what he thought of Black Lives Matter. He did not know that it was a functioning movement. He said, yeah, Black Lives Matter, and White Lives Matter, all lives matter. And in doing so, he set up a situation where a lot of black people felt very distressed about him. This really happened.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an indication of how he was out of it.
And to me, a self-proclaimed black intellectual, I think that...
A self-proclaimed black intellectual? Okay, man.
Do you have a badge? Do you have an ID card?
Yeah.
We have a card. It's just like the race card, only it's gold. And we can just, hey, I'm one of... But no, I think you're right. I mean, we have those conversations, and if you can't ask those questions, and if you don't understand... Look, I think both of them are too old...
Hey, watch it, man. Watch it. I mean, you're getting into my turf here.
And I, too, agree that, like, why Elizabeth Warren lost so much steam, I don't know. I don't know why Julian Castro didn't gain more steam. I have a lot of questions. But, you know, whoever the Democratic nominee is, I will vote for him. I'll put it to you like that.
You know, while we're on this topic, there have been a number of candidates in this process where, you know, the lack of traction or their inability to generate traction was inexplicable to me. I thought Cory Booker was a brilliant candidate. He was out of the process early.
There were a lot of good
candidates. And I tell you, as a person of color, a lot of people of color thought Cory Booker was a poor man's Barack Obama. And I'm just, like I said, I don't speak for every black person, but they weren't enthralled. Let me throw something else out there.
Yeah, but he ran out and rescued a lady in a fire, you know.
He did. But also with Kamala Harris. And people aren't going to tell you this. I'm one of your main callers from Houston, Texas, but I'm calling Portland. With Kamala Harris, what was said at the barbershop was, you know, and this is a sad statement, but I'll be brief. She's married to a white man.
Oh, come on.
I'm being serious. And I think that right there, that's why she didn't get a lot of black support. There's a lot of stuff that black people don't say to Abe and Joe, but I'll try
I'm sure. Yeah. Go ahead.
But I'll call and break it down for you guys until we leave to go to Canada.
Even though you're from Texas, I welcome your comments, man.
Thanks so much. Talk to you guys later.
Hey, okay. Thanks, Corey. Appreciate it. All right, Shelley writes into the Facebook page to say, we need to stop with the purity test for candidates and have a united front. I hate to think about 4 more years of the president administration. Think about the Supreme Court. Yeah.
No, I agree. I have to say that no matter who the hell is the lousy Democratic candidate for president, I will work hard for and support that person because the fascist is really immediately dangerous.
And Jack writes in to say, NBC reports this morning that Joe Biden said he'd consider taking a Republican for a VP running mate to unite the nation, he says.
Really?
Lord, help us all.
I'm not going to call on some invisible magical
power. I'm all in right now. Lord, but, help us all.
But I'm gonna say that Biden, I don't get that guy. I mean, I really don't. I think he's out of it. It isn't about age. He's always been a little bit out of it. He was chosen as a running mate by Obama, who was looking for somebody to bring kind of moderate whiteness into it all, I think.
Yeah, I think he was trying to reassure older white voters.
Yeah, yeah. And beyond that, this guy is, aside from the tragedies in his life, he's got nothing going for him, oddly enough.
And his legislative record, I think, has got some big question marks in it, particularly the crime bill that was passed during the Bill Clinton administration.
Yeah, let's not forget some of his
sponsor
work.
Of that. The bankruptcy bill that was passed during the George W. Bush administration is a particularly nasty piece of work that protects credit card companies and really makes it more difficult for ordinary people to gain the protections of bankruptcy when they're in that situation.
Right.
And I could go on and on. But there it is. He is a known figure. He has almost universal name recognition. And right now, he may very well be the Democratic nominee. So let's go to the phones.
Okay.
Mike.
No, Karen. We got Karen.
Hi. Excuse me, Karen. Good
Mike,
morning.
We'll get back to you, Mike. Karen, go ahead.
Or is this Mike?
Who do we have?
This is Mike.
Mike.
Hey, okay, Mike, go.
Go ahead.
It's really a lot of stuff that you're talking about, and I don't want to get stuck on the voter suppression stuff, but that's the part that really scares me, because I think that we're understating how much voter suppression there has been going back in Iowa again. I don't know what happened there.
I don't think we'll ever know what happened there.
And now we've got electronic machines everywhere.
And I don't like that. I like paper ballots, period.
But I'm trying to figure out, Joe, I'm trying to figure out what your end game is on as far as hold your nose. Are you trying to convince me and the listeners here that we should hold our nose and vote for? And it doesn't sound like you're into... we're all in agreement that Biden is not really a viable option to present against the force of the current president. I mean,
let me just say yes and no, because there are reasons.
He doesn't rely on intelligence. He doesn't have to speak, but he can speak.
Yeah, I think there's something important here that maybe is being ignored. There's a difference between capitalist conservatives who are not yet fascists and true fascists. And we are seeing for the first time, I believe, the first time in American history, a president of the United States who is a true fascist. And this is a unique phenomenon of this age, and it's very, very frightening. And not only is he a fascist, but he's an idiot. So the combination is extremely scary, and because it's that, I'm willing to go with just about anybody. That's my position.
Now, and thank you very much for the call, by the way. Joe Biden, I think, can win. I think he can win the general election.
Well, yeah.
I don't think that's in dispute. But what I'm really hoping is sometime between now and the time that the Democrats pick a nominee, that the nation remains focused, yes, on the necessity of removing Donald Trump from office. But at some point, I think you have to stop simply backing away from Trump and start walking toward the America that we all want to be. And I don't think that Joe Biden is the candidate for that moment, for this moment in time that we're experiencing.
Well, I won't even argue with you about that. I'm just more having, as a historian, having studied the phenomenon of fascism and understanding how it operates and how compelling it can be, I'm really frightened of this clown. I cannot intellectually understand why people who otherwise would seem to be reasonable, not necessarily super intelligent, but reasonable, would support that pig.
Yeah, it's astonishing. I was in a conversation over the weekend with a family member who's a Trump supporter,
yeah.
A smart guy. I considered this guy to be one of the reasonable Republicans, somebody with whom you might have a chance of breaking through with a reasoned argument. But not only is he all in for Trump, he believes that nothing went wrong with the Ukrainian phone call, that he wasn't actually leaning on the Ukrainian president to throw an American election.
It was a perfect call.
It was a perfect call. But see, he's accepting this all. He has drunk the Kool-Aid. Right? Nothing went wrong. Trump didn't do anything wrong. What's more, it was a legitimate investigation into the corruption of Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Trying to protect his son.
Well, the son should never have taken that job. Well, Joe should have said.
Yeah, but that's neither here nor there. What I'm saying is, not only could I not break through the Trumpian shell in which this guy is encased, that he is bathing in Kool-Aid right now. It's to the point that he can't even perceive wrong actions on the part of this president. And I think that there are lots and lots of people like him.
I think you're right, sadly. Let's go let's go out to Karen. Karen,
hi,
you're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to add a little bit of information to the reparations issue.
Sure.
I certainly sympathize with Mike, but I found an article by Vox. And according to Vox, they say that Bernie eventually said that he would sign a reparations bill if it came across his desk. He said that, And what's interesting is Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, and Julian Castro were all in favor or supported reparations.
Right.
So, but that just couldn't carry, it hasn't carried their campaigns. I mean, that's what's so sad is that. And I understand that people want safety and security and want to get rid of Trump. God knows I do too. So I also wanted to say that they're for some reason think Joe is safe because Obama chose him, so he's trustworthy. I also wanted to just mention I agree with you. I think it's Joe. Yeah, Joe, you said that we had to get Trump out. That was our top priority. I think if we are speaking as I'm speaking as a woman and looking at what has happened to immigrants and people of color and other and the poor under Trump, it has been massively unfair. It has cruel. It's been wicked. I don't have words for it. And we have to get them out. And there's just people who are in any of those categories know the difference between a fascist and a liberal. And as much as I'm a democratic socialist, I just realize that this man is poison, just pure poison. He's allowing the environment to be overrun. He's allowing all of our concerns about distribution of wealth to be completely distorted. He's running in all the wrong directions. And I'm a bit emotional about it. I really think that is our top priority. I'm going to vote for Bernie if I have the opportunity to do so. And I do think he has a chance. He has a chance. It's not a great chance. And the Democratic Party may think, you know, he's got way too many supporters for us to cut this man out. I was also in favor of both Bernie and Warren and sent money to both of them. So I think somehow this wheel of history, it's possible to turn in our direction. Otherwise, we're just kind of doomed. There's just no other way to look at it. So,
you're really cheering me up here.
Sorry about that.
I appreciate.
I'm actually hopeful that we will be able to push the wheel of history.
No, I think it's always good to be hopeful. It's always good to look at a possible alternative to the bad thing.
Yeah.
Right. I'm rational too. But thank you. I'm going to take your answer off the air.
Yeah, thanks for the call.
I need to go down and handle my laundry. Bye bye.
I love that metaphor too, pushing the wheel of history. That's good. I like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I talked a minute ago about, you know, yes, needing to rid the country of Trump, but also needing to turn and try to create the America we need going forward. We need someone in the White House who is up to the moment, up to the challenges of this moment.
We also need to have decent senators. I mean, we need a lot of things.
Indeed, we do, yes. But here's... let's postulate for the for just a moment a Bernie Sanders presidency. Such a thing would galvanize the progressive youth of this country, yes. Of which there are very, very many, as we've been discussing in this program. In poll after poll, the under 30 crowd is so strongly progressive on issue after issue after issue.
Yep.
And if they feel after this election that they actually have a voice, a political voice can, that not only can be expressed but acted upon, if they start realizing the power that they have in their numbers, it might be just the thing we need to save us all in the ensuing few decades.
Well, I like your optimism.
Yeah. But if we go somebody from the old guard, somebody who's offering more of the same, Joe Biden is essentially offering a return to Obama-era environmental policy, is not sufficient to the moment.
And every day is Thursday with Joe.
Well, I wish you wouldn't keep harping on that. Okay, we've made that point, that he's not altogether there, right?
Well, okay, I'm glad you said that.
Okay, and I'm being a little snippy, I'm sorry. But if the millennial crowd is able to see their political will made manifest this time around, I think that portends very, very well for the future of not just this country, but the rest of the world.
Well, I think you're right. You know, I don't feel very snippy myself, but, you know.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's go to Kim.
Oh, no, Kim.
All right, let's try Linda. Linda.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
A couple of issues. One on reparations.
Sure.
How about the Native Americans? It's a real can of worms when you get into
that. Oh, no, Native Americans.
There's other ways to do it.
You're absolutely right. They really deserve reparations.
Just a minute. Most people's view on Trump is a millimeter deep. You only look at the top surface 10 of the whole population. He can look reasonable because there's not that many deep thinkers or even shallow thinkers out there. They're caught up with their daily life. Goebbels was brilliant.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Another thing is inertia is a powerful thing. This is where the guy from Kansas had it right. There has to be a lot of emotion for a real social overturn. And he saw that with Bernie's gatherings. And that's sort of where we're headed if we're really going to deal with the really important issues. Hmm. So, just cross our fingers.
Well, yes, cross our fingers, but get out there and vote.
Yeah,
anybody can hear my voice.
No worries. No
vote.
Worries on that.
Yep.
Okay.
And that's it.
Thank you for the call.
Hey, thank you very much.
I'm thinking that part of what happened with the joy of young people in seeing Bernie is an incredibly romantic view of politics.
Mm-hmm.
Abstractly, directly, let me put it this way. If you had a dinner party and you could invite any one of the candidates who are still running,
mm-hmm.
would you prefer to have Elizabeth for dinner? At dinner? Pardon me. At dinner? Or would you prefer to have Bernie?
It doesn't matter, and I don't care. I'm not going to have dinner with either one. I want somebody who's going to lead the country in a strong progressive direction, address the climate crisis, address rampant income or inequality, and address all of the incredibly pressing problems that are hanging over our heads all at once. So I don't give a damn who's more pleasant at dinner time. I really don't.
Well, let me put it another way. Who has a plan for that?
Elizabeth Warren has a plan for that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm looking at the situation. It's never in my lifetime been a good situation. It's always been, in my view, an obvious system supporting an establishment which is fundamentally a capitalist and on a doomsday trip in the long run. So I don't have a great deep hope for a change. And this comes out of a lot of experience over a lot of years and a lot of different politics. I nevertheless always think that it's possible that things can be better. There's this old expression, expect the worst, hope for the best.
Yeah. Jan writes into the Facebook page, facebook.com/Abejoe, to say, WTF, chronic Bernie bashers on KBOO, you neoliberal plants. You should pass the torch instead of being old farts in the greedy-ass windstorm of corrupt wannabes.
Cool.
I think she's talking about us.
I think so.
Yes, you neoliberal plant. Yes, we're all on the payroll, right, of the neoliberal establishment.
Wait a minute.
You get your paycheck this month?
I didn't get my paycheck.
Uh-oh.
Damn.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Please, if you're in a Super Tuesday state and you are listening to this program, get out there and vote. Don't let them stop you. Cast your vote. Participate in the process.
Really?
And let's all move forward.
And by the way, it's always necessary to continue the struggle.
From the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of We Are All Indians Now, an art exhibition by Stephen Johnson Leyba on Friday, March 6th from 6 to 11:30 p.m. at the AFRU Gallery in Portland. We Are All Indians Now is a mixed-media art exhibition that explores Leyba's passion in Native American roots. The artist will share a live performance at 7 p.m. The exhibit will continue from 2 to 6 p.m. on weekends to the end of March. Again, that's We Are All Indians Now, an art exhibition by Stephen Johnson Leyba, on Friday, March 6th from 6 to 11 p.m. at the AFRU Gallery, 534 Southeast Oak Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. It is 1 minute after 9, and coming up on the Boo a little later this morning at 10, it's a best of flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein's guest Greg Palast. At 11, on stage and studio, host Dime Roberts airs the short documentary Secret Asian Woman, a half-hour personal exploration of identity and mixed race. And 11:30 on Art Focus, Joseph Galavan interviews Laurie Stokes Sims.